I'm going to sing. Fair warning. I don't ever sing, but my grandsons are here, and a little song I think I learned when I was 6 or 7, 8 years old, and I never forgot it, called Christian Cowboy. So, Jenny, have you ever heard it? You're fixing to. Remember the song, not the singing, okay? And it's in a minor, so maybe you can pick it up. I don't know. I'm not a musician. I was just told it was in a minor. The devil is a rustler, and many are his men, who ride the plains and valleys, branding souls with death and sin. If you're a Christian cowboy, then saddle up God's word and save a soul that's heading toward the devil's herd. Swinging in to the saddle, start riding and start riding hard. Search the canyons of sin for the souls of men, bringing in the strays for the Lord. What outfit do you ride for? Are you the devil's hand? Or is the Lord your foreman and the rugged cross your brand? Is hell your destination or heaven your reward? You're working for the devil or you're working for the Lord? Swinging in to the saddle, start riding and start riding hard. Search the canyons of sin for the souls of men, bringing in the strays for the Lord. And when the roundup's over and payday rolls around, when all the strays are branded and when all the lost are found, we'll check our reins up yonder in valleys green and wide. But you'll never make it, cowboy, unless you up and ride. Swinging in to the saddle, start riding and start riding hard. Search the canyons of sin for the souls of men, bringing in the strays for the Lord. Now y'all know why I'm a preacher, not a singer. And go before the Lord and read the scripture here. It's really, truly an honor to be here. Amen. Known Brother Tony and his family. The only reason I'm associated with anybody in Fort Smith is because of Brother Tony's family. Many years ago, something happened at Louisiana Camp, and the Lord, we've been coming up this way for quite many years now. I'm really honored that Timothy Miller with his family drove 3.5 hours to hear a nobody preach. I'm really honored in that. God bless you, Brother Timothy, and your family. It's an honor to be here with my grandchildren, my son, my daughter-in-law, and everybody else. Matthew chapter 26. I want to speak on a title of the sermon is To See the End. Matthew 26, we're going to start at verse 57 and read it in verse 58. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and his elders were assembled. Now notice Peter. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. You may be seated. What about Peter? Let's look at the life of Peter, just the things that happened in this chapter. In verse 35, he said he would not deny Christ. Jesus said, Peter, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said, I will die for you before I'll deny you. There is no way I will deny you, Jesus. I would give my life for you. And that's the problem with so many Christians today. They are Christian by word of mouth.
Right.
They say they'll die for Christ when they won't even live for Christ.
Yeah.
They won't even take the Holy Ghost standards and apply it to their dress codes, their homes, and everything else. And yet, they are Christians. Right. But they're only Christians by name. You have to be a Christian by life.
Amen.
You have to be willing to not just say you'll give your life for Christ, but you have to be willing to take the life of Christ, and that way you can die with Him. Amen. And Peter, he denied Him 3 times. And in this Matthew chapter 26, in verse 35, he said he would not deny Him, but would die for Him. In verse 51, they came to take Jesus, and Peter thought, well, maybe he misunderstood me. I'm willing that people die for Him, because I'm going to kill this guy that's going to take Jesus away. And Peter pulled out his sword, and I know in Matthew it didn't say it was Peter, but later on in another gospel it says it was Peter. He drew his sword, and he swung at the guy and cut his ear off. Now, Peter was he wasn't aiming for the ear, he was aiming for the throat.
Right.
And if he would have chopped the head off, I think God would have put it back on too. But it just happened to be the ear. So Peter, he was real zealous about his love for Christ, but yet he wasn't converted yet.
Right.
Because Jesus said, Peter, when thou art converted.
Right.
There hadn't been a book of Acts written yet. The Holy Ghost hadn't fell in the second chapter of Acts yet.
Right.
And Peter and the disciples did not know what a real conversion was.
Right.
Otherwise, they would have never denied Him. They never would have walked from Him.
Right.
But Peter, he was willing to kill for Him. And it said in verse 74 that he went out and he denied Him 3 times.
Yeah.
And in verse 75, he felt so condemned, it said he went out and wept bitterly.
Right, that's right.
Peter, a man who walked on water.
Right.
And wasn't even converted yet.
Right. Yeah.
And now comes the final showdown. God, I will die for You. No, You'll deny me. No, I won't. I'll die for You. And the words came back to haunt Him. And when it came to the final showdown, Peter denied Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he went out and wept. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. A few chapters later, there's an angel at the tomb in Mark chapter 16. Jesus wasn't the only one that died at the crucifixion. Peter died in his spirit. He was a dead man. He went out and wept bitterly at what he had done.
Right.
We find out in the story of the resurrection in Mark chapter 16. I don't think I wrote that one down. I'm sorry. Mark 16, verse 5. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. I love this. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter,
right,
that He goeth before you into Galilee. Go tell the disciples, especially Peter.
Right.
Peter's the only one mentioned by name. Jesus knew what Peter had been going through. He knew that Peter had died spiritually when he was crucified. And now we're going to have a resurrection of Jesus Christ, but there's also going to be a resurrection in Peter. Peter is going to come to life again, and he's going to get into the book of Acts, and look what Peter's going to do when the Holy Ghost is able to use a man who was a complete failure. He had denied Christ. But he's been born again now. When Jesus resurrected and Peter saw the resurrection, Peter had a resurrection in his spirit.
Amen.
So if you want to preach a sermon, let's preach about the resurrection of Peter. Because that's every one of us. We all know Christ rose again. But until we have a resurrection in ourselves, we will die in our sins. And it says here that in my text. But I also, before I go back to that, I love this in verse 5 of Mark 16. It says, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man. Now, this young man had to be an angel.
Right.
When were the angels created? Before the foundation of the world. But yet it was a young man, thousands of years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's eternal life.
Right.
We all are going back to that youth where we will never age, a young man. So we had Peter. He got his own resurrection. And it said that in Matthew 26. I know I'm stumbling around, but I'll get to going here in a minute.
That's all right.
It said that Peter followed afar off in verse 58 unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with his servants to see the end.
Right.
But you know, Peter was accused of being one of the disciples. What about the other 11?
Uh-huh. Come on.
Peter was accused.
Sure.
You were with him. What about the other 11? At least Peter hadn't ran so far away
that
he wasn't going to see what was happening. They were scared.
Right.
They went everywhere trying to get away. They were scared for their lives. And Peter, even though he was scared for his life, he still wanted to see what was going to happen. And instead, he stood afar off to see the end.
Right.
He knew Jesus was going to be crucified, and he wanted to be there to see what would happen. But I got news for you, Peter. It ain't the end, it's the beginning.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
It's not the end of the story.
That's right.
Sorry.
Amen.
He thought it was the end, but it was just the beginning of the next chapter. But when you wait to see the end of something, you're on the devil's ground. I'm not waiting to see the end of the world.
Amen.
I'm waiting to see the rapture.
Amen.
I'm not getting on the devil's ground.
Right.
And Peter thought this was going to be the end of it, but it was just the beginning of the next chapter. There was a glorious resurrection that was to follow, a trip that Jesus was going to take to hell. And he couldn't have done that unless he was crucified and put in a tomb. Now we know they sealed up that tomb so they wouldn't steal the body of Jesus and say he had rose from the dead. That wasn't man's plan, that was God's plan. Seal it up tight. I don't want him being bothered because he's got to go somewhere.
Right.
There was a resurrection behind that closed tomb. Jesus rose up and he went to hell.
Right.
And he defeated death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
And he preached to the souls in prison. Now he had to come back into the tomb to have another resurrection. What goes on behind closed doors was pretty great.
Amen.
In that sealed tomb, Jesus defeated Satan. The end for Jonah. Gideon, you remember the story of Jonah? One of God's men, he was told to go to Nineveh. And he says, no, I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm not going to do what the Lord told me. He gets out on the ship, and the waves come. The ship's going to sink. The sailors don't know what they're going to do. They find out Jonah's the problem. Jonah says, throw me in. They tried everything to not do what Jonah told them to do.
Right.
But read the book.
Right.
They threw Jonah in.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the end of Jonah. No, it wasn't.
That's right.
It was just the beginning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Y'all like to read books. I grew up reading Lewis Lamar, the Westerns. Haven't read one in years, but up to the time I was about 23 or 4, I probably read every one he ever wrote. Brother Tim, yeah. You know, you get through it, and you read through the first, second, third, fourth, fifth chapter. Well, that's a good story. You put it down, it's over, right? No, there's a next chapter.
Right.
You turn the page, and you go on. And that's what it is in every life situation. You never come to the end. The end is just the beginning of what's to come.
That's right. Amen.
And the end of Jonah was just the beginning of what was going to come next.
Right.
He didn't die. God prepared this whale, this fish, to swallow him up. And he was in there 3 days and three nights. He came up. He goes out and he preaches to Nineveh, and the whole city repented.
Right.
What a great ending to that story of him meeting his end.
Yeah.
The end turned into a fabulous story.
Right.
It brought a whole city to repentance.
Yeah.
Every thought body thought it was the end for David when he went to meet Goliath. Come up here, Gideon. I'm Goliath. Stand right there. That's David.
Yeah.
Can you beat me? Can you take me down? Make him sit down before he does it. You know, that's a comparison in size. David was probably 5'2", 3'4". They said he's, what, 12 to 15 years old? And I did the math on Goliath years ago. He was 10'3". Almost twice his size. And this little bitty shepherd with the sling is going to take him out? Right. No way. But you know, David was invincible. David could not be killed.
Right.
I just told this to some Baptist people the other day. Mr. Hutto was trying to tell me a story about David and the giant. He's an old rancher I work for sometimes. I said, well, you want to know something? I told his wife, David couldn't be killed. Why not? You remember Samuel, that prophet? He came to the house of Jesse and anointed David to be king.
That's right. Yeah.
That prophecy had to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
When he went to meet Goliath, he wasn't king yet.
Right.
How could Goliath kill him?
Right.
How could the whole army kill him?
Yeah.
He hadn't been king yet. That prophecy had to be fulfilled. Yeah. So he was an invincible army of one at 12 to 15 years old.
Right. Yeah.
But he comes to the, and you know, he comes to see the battle. He didn't call his dad sinning to bring food to his brothers. And he comes in and his brother said, why? They insulted him. Read the story.
Right. Yeah.
Why have you left those F-E-W, few sheep?
Right.
In other words, you're not even a big enough man to take care of a big flock. Dad's got you in charge of just a few sheep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're insulting him. They're putting him down. They're belittling. And you just come here to see the battle. And
come on.
You think you're going to kill that giant?
Come on.
His brothers didn't think he could do it.
Right.
Do you think Saul thought he could do it?
No.
You think Goliath thought he could do it?
No.
But he did it.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
They all thought they were going to see the end of David.
That's right.
But it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning of the next chapter, the next story.
Man.
We know what happened. He goes down there and he picks up five rocks. Why five rocks? Well, the Bible said Goliath had an uncle and three brothers just as big as him. You put them four with him, you got five. He was ready to take out the whole tribe.
True.
So it wasn't the end, it was the beginning.
Right. Amen.
It was supposed to be the end for Joseph when he was sold into slavery. His brothers were jealous of him. And they threw him in the pit, were going to kill him. But one of them stood up and said, no.
Right.
He wanted to come back and rescue him later. One of them had a heart.
Right.
But they sold him into the slavery. Well, that's the end of Joseph. Little did they know. Turn the page.
Sure.
Turn the page. It's just the beginning of the next chapter. It's not the end of the story.
Right.
And you know what happened.
Right.
It looked like the end for Job. Job was a great man. Mm-hmm. Because he feared and loved God.
Right.
And because of that, God made him a great man in the eyes of his friends.
Yeah.
He was probably the richest man in the country. Probably the healthiest man in the country. He had the best kids in the country, and God took it all away. But that wasn't the end of Job.
Right.
Because he sinned not, and he did not charge God foolishly,
right.
And God restored everything twofold. Historians claim that he even gave them back his original kids. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know God can do whatever he wants to
do. Right.
Because it restored his oxen twofold, twice, his camels twice. Everything got doubled except his kids. He still ended up with seven sons and three daughters. So take it for what it's worth. I can't prove that, but some historians claim it was the same ones God raised him up. I don't know. But when Satan tries to end God's plan, God just starts the next chapter.
Right.
Whenever Satan tries to end a work, God energizes it. Jonah faced certain death. David faced certain death.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph.
Right.
The three Hebrew children all faced certain death.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the end.
Right.
It was just the beginning of the next chapter.
True.
In the New Testament, we had the story of Paul, shipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
Satan trying to kill him. Well, it didn't work. They got to dry ground.
Yeah.
Satan said, I'll get you yet. I'll make this snake, this viper, come out of this fire. And you can't live if this thing bites you. And it says, Paul was gathering some wood to put on the fire, and this viper came out of the fire and latched onto him.
Yeah.
And they all stood there to watch the end of Paul.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
They were going to see the end of this man of God. There's no way out. That thing bit you, you have to die. I know they have one they call a seven-stepper. If it bites you, you take 7 steps, you fall over dead. That's all the time you have left. And apparently this was one of them kind of vipers.
That's right.
But when Paul didn't die, because it wasn't the end of the story.
Right.
It was just the beginning of the next story, a greater story. Anytime we have a situation in our lives and we get so discouraged and so depressed that we think it's the end of the story, we need to realize it's not the end of the story. We need to turn the page.
Amen. Amen.
And see what God has in store, what's right around the corner. Well, we may lose our job. We may lose a loved one. This may happen, and God may bring this thing into our life. But don't you know God is in full control of every aspect, every second of your life? And we just need to wait until that page gets turned and see the beginning of the end of the last story?
Yeah, all right.
The beginning of the end.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But God said, it's just the beginning. He said, I will make this trial a blessing. No matter what position you are in, it's not the end if you are in Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Death can't end my life.
That's right, man.
All it does is turns the page to eternal life.
Right.
If I die, it ain't the end of me.
Right.
It's just the beginning.
That's right.
If we could only look into that other portal, that other realm, and see the saints over there, we would fear nothing.
Right.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you, the story we're living right now is nothing to the story we're going to get into.
That's right.
That's
right.
True. Yeah.
The page will turn.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Our unsaved loved ones.
Amen.
Are going to come.
Amen.
There's going to be healing. You know, Brother Brenham said we're going to have that second chapter of Acts experience.
Amen.
He said we're going to have, the bride's going to have her revival.
That's true.
We're going to have the miracles.
That's true.
We're going to have these things come upon. We're going to speak things into existence. We're going to have missing limbs being restored.
Great.
All of these different things. We're going to have all that. And you know something? I haven't been seeing that, but you know something? I'm going to turn the page and see it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
It's not the end. It's just the beginning. No matter what position we're in, it's not the end. Because every adverse circumstance in my life, everything that goes against my grain, everything that comes against me, every failure I have must yield to me a good result. Amen. It don't matter how many failures I have. It don't matter how many errors I make. It don't matter how far in sin you've been, that has to yield to you a good result if you're in Christ.
Amen.
And we look at some of our unsaved loved ones who are so far out in the world that we see no hope for them, turn the page.
Amen.
I've got a sister, she drinks all the time, she was raised in the message, she's gone. But you know something? I'm not looking at the story I'm reading, I'm looking at the story that's to come.
Amen.
I don't know how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen.
Amen.
And one day that page is going to turn, and there it's going to be.
Amen.
And that's just an old story. I'm not, you know, Brother Tim, when we read them restaurants, and we read chapter 5, and we went to verse 6, instead of going and reading verse 7, we didn't go back and read verse chapter 5 again. We just kept moving on, because we know what already happened, and we want to see the continuation of the story.
Right.
And that's what life is all about. We can't dwell on the past. We can't dwell on the present. We can only dwell on the future.
That's right.
Because the past and the present, that's what we're doing. The future is what God's going to do.
Amen.
John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. It's not enough to abide in Christ. Christ has to abide in you.
That's right.
That's the problem in the world today with the churches. They all claim they're in Christ. They have all taken the name of Christ.
That's right.
But they haven't taken the life of Christ.
That's right.
That life has to abide in you.
Yes.
Right.
My best friend in Utopia for years was a man named Wiley Skelton, Josh Newing. He was, wasn't a believer. He was a veterinarian. Last March, I think he was 72 years old, he woke up Sunday morning, walked down in the living room, flopped over dead from a heart attack. He'd been married 3 times, still had a wife he wasn't divorced with, and he was now living with another woman. You know, my Bible says that's adultery.
Right.
It's what it says.
That's right.
And my Bible says an adulterer cannot go to heaven.
Right.
So like it or not, Wiley went to hell. I mean, that's what my Bible says.
Right.
I mean, he just got out of bed with a woman he'd spent the night with, been sleeping with her for months.
Yeah.
He ain't married to her, so that means he's living under adultery. He has a massive heart attack, no time for repentance, and you cannot tell me he went to heaven. I don't buy it.
Right. That's right.
But the churches will take him and put him in heaven. The church he went to had a funeral for him, and they put Wiley in heaven. Now, you know what that man of that church is telling his people? It's okay for you to live in adultery. It's okay for you to have 3 or 4 wives and be living with somebody that's not your wife, because when you die, you'll still go to heaven. That's a sugar-coated gospel,
right,
and it ain't the words of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's the words of Satan that have taken the word of God and perverted it. My Bible says that you live that kind of lifestyle, I don't care if you were my best friend, Wiley, I don't think I'm ever going to see you again unless you get over there because of something good you've done for the bride of Christ.
Right.
There is still hope.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, that man did me a lot of good turns. He helped me when I didn't ask for help. That man cared for me. And I hope at the day of judgment, when he comes up, I can stand and say, God,
amen.
That man was there for me.
Amen.
And God's going to say, enter.
Yes.
Right.
That's Bible too.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He may be suffering in the torments of hell right now, which hell is a waiting place for the judgment day.
Right. Right.
But there may come a time he may be released from that and get to into heaven because of the good he did to the bride of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Maybe, Brother Daniel, maybe that's how some of our unsaved loved ones are going to get there.
Yeah.
I don't want my sister to go through the tribulation, but if that's what it takes and she has to die and come up before the throne of judgment and get there, I don't care as long as she gets there.
Amen. Right.
God has the plan, I don't.
Right.
Think about God, he don't have to turn the page. He already knows the end of the story.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
We know parts of the end, but not all of the end. So many stop at, I abide in Christ. All Christians claim that. But what about Christ abiding in you? John 15, if we go on down to verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will.
Mm-hmm.
What? You shall ask what ye will, and it might happen.
Come on.
And it might happen. No, it will.
Amen.
Oh my goodness, don't you know the power you have?
Yeah.
You young people, don't you know the power you have? You don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
Preach.
But we have enough power to speak a world into existence and go live on it.
Yeah.
Right.
And if we can do that, why can't we speak salvation into our unsaved loved ones that God will do a work in their life? I believe it with all my heart.
Amen.
Whatever we ask, if we abide in Christ and he abides in us, whatever, it don't matter what you ask for,
mm-hmm.
it shall be done.
That's right.
Amen.
You want $1 million? If you believe that, it can happen.
Amen.
But it's your faith. You need healing? Speak the word.
That's right.
The problem with the Christians today, even the believers, we don't know who we are.
Come on.
Yeah.
We don't know the power we possess.
Right.
But if you've truly been born again, Christ has come and dwelt inside of you.
Amen.
Because Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am going away. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless.
Right.
I am going to come back as the great comforter in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because as a man, I cannot enter into your body.
Right.
But as the Spirit, I can enter into
yes.
you.
Amen.
And if you are truly born again, it ain't just a spirit that comes into you. It's Jesus Christ Himself in a spirit form. And the works that He did, greater works shall we do.
Right.
And He raised a man from the dead that had been dead for 3 days. And He said, I can do greater things. I believe it.
Yeah.
Once I get that faith, nothing will stand in my way.
Amen.
But we're living in a bed of roses right now. But once that persecution comes, our faith is going to rise to meet everything Satan throws at us.
Right.
Because we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
So everybody's a Christian. Then why do you dress the way you do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why do you get drunk? Why do you listen to this kind of music?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you do this? You're not a Christian. You're a Christian by name.
Right.
But you have to be a Christian by life.
Amen.
And if you're a Christian by life, the outside will show what's on the inside.
Amen. Right.
That's like a woman will say, well, I can dress any way I want to. Because it's the outside that matters. The inside that matters. She said, when I go to a store and buy bananas,
mm-hmm.
I don't eat the peeling. It's the inside that matters. I eat the inside. But how do you judge the banana is good to eat?
Right.
Amen.
You look at the outside. You're not going to go grab a black brown banana that's all crody and mushy and you're going to buy a nice yellow one or one that's between the green and the yellow. You judge the appearance of the banana because by the appearance you know what's on the inside.
Right.
And it's the same way with people.
Right.
You know it, I know it. I don't care what they profess. If a woman chops off all her hair and a guy gets himself covered up with all kinds of evilness and running around in evil clothes and
right.
piercing his nose and his ears and growing his hair long and all this stuff, the outside tells me there ain't an inside that's
right.
living a Christ-given life.
That's right.
If you get it on the inside, the outside's going to show it.
That's right.
It's that simple.
Amen.
But what about Christ abiding in us? The disciples all left at the end because they were in Christ, but Christ was not in them. And the only way Christ can be you in you is in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Acts 2:38.
Yes.
You must be born again.
Amen.
You must be born again. There is no other way.
That's right.
Being born again ain't the best way. It ain't a good way. It's the only way.
Right.
There is no other way than being born again and becoming a new creature in Christ. Baptism shows that the old man has died in a watery grave, now received the Holy Ghost. There is no end to eternal life.
That's right.
Let's go to Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Me in Christ? Christ in you. The hope of glory. There is no hope outside of Christ being in you.
Amen.
That's right.
You being in Christ ain't enough. You going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night, you getting up and reading your Bible and praying every day, you can spend 24 hours a day praying and reading your Bible, but unless Christ gets in you, there is no hope of glory.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
I don't care how much you profess. I don't care what kind of testimony you have. I don't care what you're showing to other people, and I don't care about all your good works. I don't care what you do. If Christ is not in you, it's all for naught.
Amen.
You must be born again. You have to turn the page.
Mm-hmm.
We turned that page, didn't we?
Amen.
We heard the word of God. We went to the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
We repented.
Yeah, right.
We turned that page.
Yes.
We got baptized. We turned that page.
Amen.
We We receive the Holy Ghost. We turn that page. We have a right to eternal life.
Amen.
There's more pages to come. Let's just keep turning them.
Yes.
We're going to get this blessing, this blessing. It's not the end of the story. It's not the end. It's just the next chapter. That chapter ended. Let's go to the beginning of the next chapter. There's no end to eternal life.
Right.
Amen.
Great things are coming for the body of Christ.
That's right.
Christ must be in you. Sickness is not the end. It's just the beginning of your healing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
Cancer is not the end. It's just the beginning of your healing.
Yeah.
And if you die, it's just the beginning of eternal. It's just the finishing act of eternal life that has already been started.
Amen.
You don't die. I know in the Bible it says, some of you shall be put to death. Jesus said, but not one hair of your head shall perish. Now how can you be put to death but not a hair of your head perish? Because you don't die. You just, we're so scared of death. My mom is 88 years old. She's scared of dying. And she's a Christian, been a Christian in her whole life. There, if you can only, none of us want to die.
Right.
I want to see my grandchildren grow up.
Yeah.
I want to stay alive till the rapture happens. I don't want to die.
Right.
But if it's in God's plan, if it's in the story that I have to die, let's turn the page and let me die and go on to the next part of my life.
Yes.
Eternity with Christ. I'm not scared of death. I'm not scared of COVID. I'm not scared of cancer. Because if God gives me any of these diseases, He can heal me of these diseases.
Right.
Because if somebody doesn't have the disease, how can we ever know God ever healed them?
Right.
You know, you go back before the beginning of the world. God wasn't even God.
Right.
He was just an all-sufficient being.
Yeah.
Because God is an object of worship. And God had nobody to worship Him.
Right.
So He created angels. And these angels didn't worship God because they wanted to. They worshiped God because that's what they were created to do.
That's right.
And that wasn't enough for God. He wanted to be worshiped because it was their choice to worship Him. So He created man. Now God became God. Angels and men worship Him. And that still wasn't enough for God. He wanted to be known as a supplier.
Right.
He got the Garden of Eden. He supplies all our needs. That wasn't enough. Man had to fall so He could become a healer.
That's right.
Amen.
Adam and Eve would have never got sick in the Garden of Eden until after they fell. That's when sickness came into the world. And now Christ has another attribute. God has another attribute that He wants fulfilled. He wants to be known as a healer.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be known as a supplier. He wanted to be known as God. And He couldn't do these things unless man had fell.
Yeah.
How many people do y'all know that have had cancer incurable and God healed them? I know.
Right.
Yeah. How many people do y'all know that were given death sentences? And there's nothing wrong with them right now.
Yes.
Science has to come under the authority of God.
Right, right.
So if you get this diagnosis, and you're looking at these tests, you're looking at these x-rays, and there is no hope, turn the page.
Amen.
It ain't the end of the story.
Amen.
Why do some of our loved ones go so far out in sin? Turn the page. God has to be known as a Savior.
Amen.
How can He be known as a Savior if man did not fall out in sin? How could He be known as a Savior if nobody ever had to repent?
Right.
Amen.
They're just working on their testimony.
That's right.
And some of them are working on it over time.
Right.
But it will yield a good result.
Amen.
Death is not the end, it's the beginning. But the beginning of what? Heaven or hell? Are you 100% sure right now if this building blew up that you would go into the presence of God?
Think about it.
How is your life this morning?
Preach. Come on.
Is Christ in you? Or do you think me being in Christ is enough?
Come on now.
What's the rest of your story?
Yeah.
What happens when that page gets turned? Do you end up in glory or do you end up in hell? Are you struggling with maybe pornography? That's a big one nowadays.
Sure.
I mean, when we were kids, if we wanted to see pornography, we had to go sneak a dirty magazine from somebody, you know. But now it's everywhere. It's on your phones. It's on the billboards. It's everywhere.
That's right.
Do you struggle with pornography? Do you struggle with maybe a spirit of gossip? Or, you know, nothing's worse than the other.
That's right.
But these are all things that we struggle with. And we can't get in the presence of God with these things in our lives. And they bind us. And we pray for deliverance, but yet they hang on to us. And we know it's because Christ hasn't fully came into us. Because once Christ comes into you, them things will go away.
That's right.
You need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you better get it.
Amen.
You know, you can come to church and be the best pretender ever.
That's right.
Where the pastor and the brothers and the sisters think, look, she or he, they're such a fine young person. They're such a fine elder in the church. You can't put a spot on their life. But you don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
Amen.
You don't know what goes on when they're looking at that cell phone or sending that text message. You don't know what goes on. But God knows what's going on.
Amen.
And one day, God's going to turn that page and you're going to be exposed.
Right.
So at the end of this chapter, do you want that next page to
Come
be
on.
Glorious or damning? Addictions are hard to get rid of.
Right.
Smoking, drinking, lust, pornography, they're hard to get rid of. People will get in prison that are smokers, get sentenced for 10 years, and you're not allowed to smoke in prison. You think that would break them, but the day they get out, they start smoking again. Yeah. Addictions are a powerful thing, but my God can break any addiction.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right. Amen.
The Bible says that the disciples had prayed for this man and they couldn't heal him. And Jesus come and prayed for him and he was healed. And he said, well, why couldn't we do? He said, these things come only out by prayer and fasting.
That's right.
Sometimes prayer ain't enough.
That's right.
And I read a quote the other day where Brother Branham said, your fasting may not be for you. It may be for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fasting, but you don't even know it, but you're fasting for somebody else's need. You're praying, and you're praying for somebody else's need. You don't even know it, but God does. God sees it. But an addiction. If you have an addiction, and you've prayed and prayed, and you can't get rid of it, put it on fast. Notice, I didn't say you fast. Put it on a fast. Don't do it for a day. Don't do it for a second day. Don't do it for a third day. Don't do it for a fourth day. And you know something? If you don't feed something, it's going to die.
Right.
Amen.
That's good.
Take your dog, Daniel, any one of them three dogs, put it in a little pet carrier, and don't feed it for a week.
Right.
It's going to die.
Right.
If you take away the thing that whatever it is craving and feeding on, that thing's going to die. So if you have this spirit of lust or pornography or drinking or something in your life, put it on a fast and keep putting it on a fast till that thing dies.
Amen.
You can do it.
Right.
You can turn the page. I can tell you stories. Turn the page. Get rid of these little things in our lives.
Yes. Right.
You know, you think it's some big thing that's got you bound. It ain't a big thing. It's a little thing in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord.
Amen. It's good.
True.
If we'd only could see the other side, what the saints are doing.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on. You would never think a wrong thought.
Yeah. Come on.
You would never do a wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be perfect in your life because you would want it so bad.
Amen. Amen.
If you could ever see what those in hell are going through.
Preach.
You would be perfect also.
Yeah.
Preach.
Because you would make sure you didn't go there. My son said, to the sinner, this life is the only heaven they'll ever see. Yeah, Josh, I'm borrowing it.
Well,
he said,
not quote either.
Well, and he said, to the Christian, this life is the only hell they'll ever see.
It's true.
And that's a lot of truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't mind quoting somebody else.
No.
Adam and Eve's sin brought death. But it was not the end. It was only the beginning.
Yeah.
to bring God's perfect plan about. Man created to become the object of worship so God could be a provider. He became a healer, a savior. We are not in this life to see the end, as Peter was. We're here to see the beginning.
Yes.
Amen.
That's in the past.
Amen.
If you dwell on the past, you'll beat yourself up.
That's right.
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a lot of time in Pennsylvania. Years ago, a young sister in the church. She's married now. Her name is Alicia. When she was a teenager, 16, 17 years old, I never came to church there that I didn't look down when I was preaching. She had two or three of her friends sitting with her. She had a burden for her lost friends like I've never seen in any person. She almost drug them to church. Of course, they usually wouldn't come back. But she did not want any of her friends going to hell.
Right.
She still goes to church. She's married now. And I was up there one day working on a brother's garage, and it had been Sunday night, and I preached. And she didn't have any friends with her that day. She was probably 19, 20 at the time. She came up for prayer. And I said, "Sister Alicia, what's wrong?" She said, "She's crying." She said, "I just can't stay." I said, "Don't matter. God knows. I don't need to know. The less I know, the better off I am, the better off you are."
Mm-hmm.
So we prayed. Monday, the next day, I'm over working on a guy's garage, putting up some facers on the eaves. Nobody was there. I heard a voice. So audible, I turned around to see who was talking. And I'm 10 foot off the ground on an extension ladder. And I turned around to see who was behind me on the ground. There was nobody there. Maybe it wasn't an audible voice, but I heard something.
Yeah.
And it said, "Alicia's problem is her past." That was it. Was it God? I don't know, but I'm going to find out. They have church on Tuesday night. She always got there 30 minutes early. I met her at the door. "Alicia, I'm going to talk to you." Went around the corner. Said, "You came up for prayer Sunday night, yeah?" I said, "Is it your past that's bothering you?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I thought I heard a voice, and I had to make sure." So I went down, and the church has a little basement where I go down to study, and I was going to be preaching that night again. And I went down in that little basement area where it's the prayer room, the foot washing room for the men. I just had sat down, and I heard it again. "Tell her she don't have a past, only a future."
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, them are words of God. To each and every one of us, we do not have a past. I'm no great man. I'm no great preacher. I am a son of God, and God can speak to anybody. And I know people can go 100 years and never hear the voice of God. And I'm not saying this was the voice of God, but I heard something. And if God would say anything to you about your past, is you ain't got one.
Yes.
Amen.
Turn the page.
Amen.
All you got is a future.
That's right.
And it's a glorious future.
Amen.
We are facing a marvelous new beginning. Eternal life has no end. We're not here to see the end. We're just here to turn the page because the story's not over yet.
Amen.
That's right.
I know Josh touched on it last night about the prodigal. Everybody's preached on the prodigal. Brother Danny, Brother Tony, y'all preached on the prodigal. I was in the Philippines, and I preached on the prodigal's father, not the prodigal son. And brother was, "Man, I've heard that story preached hundreds of times, but I've never heard it that way." Because it's the prodigal's father who decides how the story's going to end.
Yeah.
Sure, we had to have a prodigal son.
Uh-huh.
But it's the father who's going to determine the ending of the story.
Come on.
What does mama think? It don't matter what mama thinks. What's the prodigal's brother think? It don't matter what the prodigal's brother thinks. It's all up to the prodigal's father to turn the page and start the next chapter of this man's life. Will he be cast away or will he be restored?
Uh-huh.
And it's our father that's going to turn the page and tell us how our story's going to end. And we've already read that story.
Amen.
You know, the movies, they have previews. We've seen not just a preview. We've seen the whole movie. We know how the story is going to end, but we just don't know what's going to happen from this point to that point.
Right.
We know where we're at right now. We know where we're going to be at, but there's a lot more to come. So what about the prodigal's brother? That's another story. I preached on that.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Brennan had that story about the eagle, about the farmer. Now, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it's a story. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a real story or a parable. And he went up and got these two eagle eggs out of a nest. There was two eggs there, and he took one and put it under a chicken. Well, that little eagle hatched out. He's in a pretty bad story, isn't he? He's pecking around with them chickens. But that ain't the end of the story.
Amen.
One day, Mama Eagle flew over and the page turned.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he took off. But you know the better part of this story that nobody ever talks about? There was another eagle. There were two eggs.
That's right. Yeah.
There was one of them eggs that never went into the chicken.
Right.
There was one of them eggs that when it hatched out, it was an eagle from the time it was hatched, and it never realized it wasn't an eagle.
Uh-huh.
There are people that God can keep from the things of the world.
Amen.
I love to hear a great testimony from a young person or an old person, how they went out into the depths of sin, into drinking and drugs and lust, and God brought them out. What a tremendous testimony that God did them for that. But you know what a greater testimony is? That God kept you from that.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That you got filled with the Holy Ghost at such a young age that you never had a desire to drink, to smoke, to do drugs, to do sexual things. That God preserved you from that. What about the other eagle?
Amen.
God's marvelous, isn't he?
He is.
If the musicians will come, I know Brother Tony's got a long ways to go today, and we're driving 11 hours to go home today. Kelly has a dentist appointment tomorrow, and I got an appointment with a job tomorrow, so we have to get back. But I just want to know it's been a real honor to be here. It's a real privilege. Thank you, Brother Tony. I hope you invite me back at some point. If the musicians will come, I want to sing that Draw Me Near, Blessed Lord. And I just want to put out the invitation, if there's anybody in here that you think you've reached the end of that chapter in your life and you want to go to the next chapter, that there's brothers and sisters here, we're willing to help you turn that page today. It don't matter how depressed and how discouraged you get, how down and out you get, how bad things get, it's not the end of the story.
Amen.
It's not the end of the book. There's more to come. There's glorious things in Christ that awaits those. You know, I don't serve a God of the past. I serve, yes, He was God of the past, but I also serve a God that is ever present. He's also going to be the God of the future. And He said, if anything you ask in My name, if you believe, I'll give it to you. If anybody in here needs healing this morning, now's the time to get it. If anybody needs baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't believe you can get it until you've been baptized, because that's the Word of God. It says, repent and be baptized, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. It will be the Holy Ghost leading you. But if you want God to enter in you, if you want Christ to abide in you, you have to repent, be baptized, and receive Him into your body.
Thank you.
needs to do, and even us in the message. We need to get back to the Word.
Amen.
And say what it says. It always bothered me to go to a funeral and someone that you knew just wasn't right, and here place them in heaven. And that's exactly what Brother Johnson said. They're basically telling everybody to live like whatever you want. Everything's fine. We don't want to do that.
Right.
We want to tell the truth, and God is obligated to back up His truth.
That's right.
And so, you know, I think that everybody can say that, you know, when the Lord speaks to you from the pulpit, He speaks something to you, you already know it in your heart, too. He speaks on both ends of it. So we know that the Lord has spoken to the hearts of people this morning. And, you know, we all have our decisions to make. You know, David had to be willing to die. You know, if it wasn't for the promise of the Lord, David was putting his life on the line. And he had faith to believe because God said, you're going to be king. But you realize he had to believe God's word enough that he was willing in the flesh to put himself at risk. And that's the life story of Christians. We have to put ourselves at risk in the natural if we really believe the word of God. And it's out there where the fruit's hanging out there on the end. You've heard this. You know, the fruit's out there on the end. That's where you're vulnerable. You got to get out there to get that fruit. And that's the way it is. We'll never be anything for God if we're not willing to take Him at His word and get off out there where we're vulnerable in the flesh. But that's the best place to be in God. And so we know that. You know, we have to make these decisions to accept the word of God and let those things change our life. Yes, I mentioned the other day about, I don't know, it's been recently, but I talked about sugar in our diet. And I was seeing a thing one time, a doctor out of Ann Arbor, Michigan was talking about this. I believe he was the one. And he said this particular thing he was talking about, that a certain mineral or a certain medicine that you would need to take into your cells to heal you of a certain condition, it used the same keyway, is kind of the words he used, that sugar uses. So, you know, your cells take in the sugar, and it's got a certain shape, as the way I picture my mind, and it goes in there. And the thing that you really need to be healed, well, it'll go right through there in that same shape. But the key, he said, was that as long as sugar is present, it always wins. In other words, you can't get the thing you need as long as that sugar's there. That make sense? As long as the thing that feels good. Because I was watching everybody last night at Brahms, and you take the little ones, you know, and you give them a taste of ice cream, and they want the ice cream. Forget the hamburger, forget the fries, or whatever else it is. They want the sugar.
Me too.
And we all have to, yeah, that's right. But we realize it's very dangerous. It's bad for us, you know. And so as long as that's there, well, guess what wins? But if you want the thing that's really good, that's going to heal you, get that sugar out of the way, and then it'll put something else come in. That's why I tell the church, it's like a teeter-totter. When the flesh is strong, the spirit is weak. You've got to put that flesh down, as he was talking about fasting. Starve the thing out. And when it goes down, guess what's going to come up? Your spiritual walk is. Amen. And so the Lord is competing with those things in our life, and it's our responsibility to give those things to Him. I appreciate what Brother Jonathan had to say.
Amen.
And you know, God has gifts and works in His body. And you know, a lot of us, I'll put myself in there, we're not glamorous or anything like that, not highly sought after, but God's still got gifts that lay there. And I believe Brother Jonathan's story about the Lord speaking to him, telling him about that sister. And I'll tell you why, because this is kind of comical, but my wife and I, when we went on our 25th anniversary, we went down to South Padre Island. We went down and spent some time there in San Antonio and preached for Brother Tom down there, where Brother Jonathan goes, and I preached there. And then Brother Jonathan arranged for me to go over to Brother Silva's, another church that night. And I went back in there, and I was sitting in the office, and I had about three or four different directions. I was trying to see what the Lord wanted me to go was for the service like that. And the Lord kept telling me, you go out here tonight and you preach the same thing you preached this morning at the end of the church. And I was arguing with the Lord. I was like, I can't, because I got people sitting out here in this church. Brother John and his wife sitting out here, and they were there this morning. I can't go out there and preach the same thing, because they're there, even though there's a lot of other people. And I struggled with that, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes back in there in that office. And I heard a knock on the door. You remember this, brother? I heard a knock on the door. And I went to the door, and it was Brother Jonathan. He said, Brother Tony, the Lord wants me to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, he wants me to tell you that it's okay for you to preach tonight. What you preach this morning. Wow. You talk about saying, sick him. God can speak. Amen. We don't have to be glorious, high sought after. We just have to be who we are in Christ. And let that gift minister to the body of Christ. And you know what? When we just do that, let all those things happen, we'll all be there together. Amen. So I'm encouraged this morning, encouraged by last night, and just want to thank the Lord. And I was going to tell you, Brother Daniel, so now you know about how to get rid of those dogs. Just let Sister Vicki give you the job of feeding them. Right? So she's not doing it. She's not going to let him start feeding them. I thought that was funny when you mentioned that. Brother Daniel come to mind there. So, amen. He's happy in the Lord.
Amen.
It's been good. It's been good. I really like the thought he gave us this morning.
Yes.
That when you come to your end as Christians, when you come to the end of something, it's really just the beginning of something else. But it's one thing that I want to go home with today. I want to remember that. You know what? Because Satan can't, he might try to make it look like the end, but God says, no, it's just the beginning. And you know what? Today is the beginning of what's to come.
Amen.
So we thank the Lord for those things. Let's just sing a song. I don't know what you're playing, but let's sing and worship just for a moment, and then we'll let you know. Lord, it's been so good to be in your house today and this time. Lord, just to hear the words that you have sent. Lord, we want to thank you. We thank you for the gifts that operate in the body.
Hallelujah.
Bringing these brothers and their families our way, Lord, to speak the word, Lord, to us. We're asking, God, that these things that have been spoken to be sealed away in the hearts of your people. And God, that as you promised, that you would bring them to our remembrance when the time comes that we need it. We ask, God, that you bless Brother Jonathan and Brother Josh. Lord, that you would bless their ministries, bless them physically, spiritually, mentally. God, that you would guide them and, God, give back to them sevenfold what they've given out in these meetings today and last night. We ask, God, that you just anoint them, help them, Lord Jesus, in the walk of life and decision making. We love you, Lord, and we know they belong to you. We thank you for their gift of you've given, Lord. We ask, God, that you just be with us now as we go this afternoon in fellowship. We're asking, Lord, that you be with each one. May they have a wonderful time in your presence. God, you keep the enemy away from them and let them enjoy the joy of fellowship around your word this afternoon. Ask God for your protection and your traveling grace on each one.